You need some cash for some things you gotta do, but all the banks and first-rate loan sharks are saying no. Look no further to Gazzo's Loans. We provide cash loans at interest rates you don't need to think about. From here on in, let us do the figuring. Can't pay? No need to worry. One of our personalized debt representatives will visit you and help you work out a repayment plan where you can keep your coat. Heck, they even make house calls. So come on down to Gazzo's and get a few bucks. We're looking forward to seeing yous.
Loans carry interest well in excess of 1,000 APR. You may not get off late as we are not running a charity. Repayment plan incentives may include fracturing of extremities. It is recommended that borrowers plan ahead. Plan ahead.
Pre-fight, they're prepping themselves, they're putting that stuff on their nose, Vaseline on their eyes.
Is that to stop your nose from bleeding? Is that what that is?
My understanding would be, and I'm not a boxer, believe it or not, Kyle, but my understanding is to clear the air. It's to clear the airway because they got the mouth guards in their mouth. I think it's to help them breathe.
Oh, okay, you have to breathe through your nose. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Because when they're fighting...
It seems to be very uncomfortable putting that in.
Yeah,
you can hear them, like...
So, again, if anyone wants to correct us on that, please do. But my understanding would be it's a clear... Because they're always punching, they're always... and they're breathing through their nose when they're doing that. They're not doing it through their mouth. I suspect they keep their mouth closed a lot during the fight because you want your jaw open.
Right, of course.
Yeah. Huh. And the Vaseline for the eyes and for the face, of course, is let the gloves slide off the face.
Yeah, I mentioned in another episode I got punched in the face with the boxing gear on, just the kind of sparring.
Oh, I love listening to that. Oh,
okay, you heard that, yeah, and I got still got the scar. It just ripped my skin open, just barely took anything.
I boxed with my dad on my 17th birthday.
Okay.
And they're like inflatable gloves.
Okay.
All my friends are there, and I punched my dad in the face as hard as I could.
Wow.
And it popped the glove and, like, split his eye open.
Wow.
He was like, what you were saying, like, the friction. He had to get, like, 4 stitches in his eye. My dad's a cool guy, so he didn't even get mad at me for it. But, yeah, without that Vaseline there, like, your face opens up pretty easy. It's not like I was as strong as those guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't take much to puncture the skin, and Vaseline it is. Okay. My mom listens to this podcast, so we'll probably be editing some of the Vaseline jokes out.
Well, I don't know. What's the joke about, though?
Yeah. All right.
One other thing, guys.
I'll Google it, guys.
When I was a kid, problem. When I was watching this, kind of in the next scene where you see Rocky praying in the corner.
Yeah.
And you see Apollo just sitting there. I don't know why. When I was younger, I thought for some reason, like, they were in the same room together.
Oh, not understanding the edit between back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if, like, you guys, it doesn't sound like you guys fell for that, but.
No.
No, you guys are smarter than me.
Well, that's not true either, but I'm a simpleton. I just saw what they presented, and I never even assumed they were in the same room. No.
Like, it looked like Apollo was looking at him.
Oh, I see. But you know what? He was probably visualizing him, and his opponent. So in a weird way, they were together.
Apollo seems really serious when they're getting him ready, right?
He's taking this part seriously. This is his pre-fight ritual, right? He knows he's going to destroy, in his mind, he's going to destroy this bum. But he's also got his own pride. He doesn't want to get surprised. He doesn't want this guy to make fun or make him look silly. He's going to go in there and show this bum who's boss. He is the champion for a reason. Apollo is the champion, and he's going to take any fight in the ring seriously. We now see the robe is on Rocky. How much did he get? Can you explain the deal that was made again?
Oh, sure. So... Paulie, who I admire actually his business prowess here. Like, this kind of shows that Paulie's kind of intelligent, that he found an opportunity to make some money here. The meatpacking company he works for, Shamrock Meats, Paulie would have gone to them and said, hey, I know this guy who's going to be fighting. Everyone's going to be watching this fight. We're going to put your logo on the back of the rope. And so since Paulie put this deal together, he was paid $3,000, which would be about like 10 grand or maybe a little bit more now. Paulie's deal with Rocky on this, you know, you'd think they'd go 50-50 or something, but Rocky says, Paulie gets $3,000, I get the robe. And then Mick's like, shrewd.
I love that. I love the shrewd on Mickey's part.
Hey, what the hell is that? I trained you to be a fighter and not a billboard.
I'm doing it for a friend.
What do you get out of it?
Paulie gets $3,000, I get the robe. Shrewd.
Fight of their life. And they're talking about the money that's been made on the Shamrock meat deal on the robe.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, Rocky, you know, he was, like I said, he was asking Adrian, like, oh, is this robe too baggy?
I gotta go now, but don't you leave town, huh? Wish me luck. I'm gonna need it.
Good luck.
Say, Adrian, you don't think this robe is too baggy, huh?
Good luck.
Don't leave town.
Like, maybe that's his way of, like, kind of changing the subject or trying to get some brevity in there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know much about boxing in the 70s. Like, I watch all the big fights, but nowadays there's a lot more of that. Like, I've actually seen fighters with, like, advertisements on their backs during the fight. Now, usually that's lower-level fighters, mind you.
GoldenPalace.com.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I don't think that was really around much in the 70s, and I could be wrong there. This was kind of like a foreshadowing of things to come.
Well, the Shamrock Meats was definitely its own character throughout the movies. The announcers brought up Shamrock Meats when Rocky entered the ring. Do you recall that?
Rocky Balboa climbing into the ring now. The Italian Stallion. Some meat sign on the back of his robe there. Have you seen what that was? Shamrock Meat. Shamrock
Meat. Yeah, yeah, like, there's a meat sign on his back. Shamrock Meat Company.
So it worked.
Which is exactly what that was for. Shamrock got their $3,000 worth out of that.
Yeah, because they had the millions of people listening and are watching on TV. Broadcasters dropped the name, Shamrock Meat, so it worked.
And 40 years later, we're still talking about it. And we should probably give a shout out to the real Shamrock Meats in Shamrock, Texas.
Well, why don't we do a free shout out to Shamrock Meats? Because we actually do have a couple listeners from Texas.
Yeah, go to 116 North Main Street, Shamrock, Texas.
I will be sending them an invoice just in case they're willing to pay.
They're a meat wholesaler.
Anyway, by the way, guys, we gave you a shout on the podcast. It's only fair. You take a few $100 up our way.
And we get to keep the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll get the money. You guys can...
I'm looking at...
You guys can have some coupons or something like that.
Looks like a nice part of town.
Check it out. You can do a little Google Street View, and there's a red truck in town. And,
well, this looks all right.
There's about four other cars there.
All right. Might be early part of the morning. So now we've entered the ring. The grand entrance of Apollo Creed.
Is that the world heavyweight champion, Apollo Creed?
He's in a boat, riding in a boat. Is he supposed to be George Washington? Obviously so. He's got the hat on, the whole shot. Look at that.
It's been confirmed. The world champion, Apollo Creed, is doing an imitation of George Washington.
He's throwing money.
I don't
remember when we were flying here, we were talking about George Washington and throwing a dollar.
Throwing across. A dollar. Of course, they all threw a dollar in those days and win a lot, Father. Now he's taking his right with him off the hat.
Dressed up as George Washington crossing the Delaware.
Yeah, and he has the Marine Corps anthem on in the background.
Yeah, what's the name of that song?
Oh, I can't remember.
Okay.
You hear that in later fights.
Yeah.
That will not be named.
Yeah.
Or later fight, I should say.
So but he comes in and he's throwing dollar coins at the crowd.
Yeah, silver dollars. And he throws his wig into the crowd as well. Like, he has a wig with a hat.
Uncle Sam and himself.
All of you. All of you. All of you.
He looks like a big flag. Is he talking to me?
He's talking to you.
Is he talking to me?
Let him talk to me.
You guys talked about the episodes that haven't come out yet, about the comparison between Apollo Creed and Muhammad Ali?
No, we haven't.
Okay, I guess we didn't.
We just mentioned that he was, the Apollo Creed character was a mixture of Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali. Just in his ferociousness and his ability to fight.
Is more Muhammad Ali.
He definitely draws inspiration for the Muhammad Ali bravado.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's just real, and I'll mention later, there's a couple things he does in the fight specifically that are very Muhammad Ali.
He enters the ring. And he points at Rocky, and what's he saying? I want you, I want you. And Rocky does.
I want the stallion.
And Rocky turns to Mickey. Is he talking to me? And Mickey goes, he's talking to you. You know, he's talking to me. Now, was Taxi Driver out yet?
No, they came out at the same time because they were both up for Oscars for the same year.
That's interesting. They both had the same line. Of course, the Taxi Driver line was, are you talking to me in the mirror? And then Rocky says to Apollo, or says to Mickey, is he talking to me? So you got two best picture.
This is both the East Coast, same time. They're all about the same age. So perhaps this is part of the lingo at the time.
Yeah. Are you talking to me?
And you just see it in pop culture through that way.
Yeah, interesting.
It is funny. One thing I noticed when I was watching it right before the podcast is that Apollo's trainer, Tony, he's very serious the whole time.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, that was really sad to hear that when he passed away. He was actually a boxer, too, which I found was interesting.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and he did some prison time also. Really turned his life around. Apollo almost seems like in the ring almost childlike. Like, he's really almost hyperactive or something like that.
Right.
And you can see that Tony is, like, actively trying to control him and hold him back and make him behave.
Yeah, good point.
Like, hey, there's, like, an actual boxing match coming up. Because I think Tony's kind of figured out, like, you saw from the scene when Tony was watching Rocky on TV and also seeing how Apollo wasn't taking it seriously. He's really worried at this point that something bad's going to happen.
No, that's a great point because during the match, Tony says to Apollo, don't try to knock him out. Don't go toe-to-toe to this guy. For whatever reason, this guy is not, he's not quitting, and he's dangerous. He's dangerous for you. And
I think that's the second movie.
He mentions the word dangerous. But, you know, in the first movie, I swear he tells him, don't try to knock him out in the final round.
No, he says, quit shocking and jiving, right. And stick and move.
Stay out of his...
Goof off in the ring, yeah.
Yeah. Shucking and jiving. I love that.
Yeah.
If I had a dollar for every single time somebody said that to me.
You'd have nothing. No more shucking and jiving. So let's move into the fight. Ding, ding. Let's go into the fight. So who rang the bell?
Mr. Stallone.
That's right.
Senior.
Frank Stallone Sr. rang the bell ringside.
Before we get in the fight, I wanted to bring up something.
Absolutely.
Now, this is supposed to be the bicentennial fight, correct?
That's what it was labeled as, yeah.
Yeah, like that's why it's in Philadelphia. The thing is, it's weird, is it's like New Year's Eve, which I never understood, or New Year's Day or whatever. Like, it's like the bicentennial, of course, is July 4th.
Yeah, I found, because he mentioned on our country's birthday.
You're kind of, just because it turns to 1976 doesn't mean, to me that's one of those things I just never got.
I agree with you, and I've never Googled it, and to see what the relationship was between the bicentennial, the year, the date. Was it a Philadelphia thing? But he mentions the greatest day in our country's birthday or something like that. So maybe the signing of independence was done or whatever. Something must have happened around that time other than just July 4th, but something to look into.
In case there's people that are listening that don't know this, the three of us are Canadians.
Oh, yes. We are all Canadian.
Yeah, so there's probably a reason why we don't know American politics like Americans might.
Yeah. So before you send out the hate mail to our Facebook page, old ten of you, relax. We do have
a bunch of Canadians.
Half of our listeners are from Canada anyways, but we got listeners from Texas. We got listeners in California. In Missouri. Well, how do you say that?
I think it's Missouri.
Missouri, yeah.
Oh, really?
We have some Australians and a couple Mexicans too, but hey, Mexico.
Oh, wow. China.
We just got our first China hit.
Well, you know, this shows the global appeal of either Rocky or Ryan and Ruben.
It's obviously you guys.
Oh, Kyle, come on now. You trying to get a permanent gig as guest host?
Also, a shout out to...
I'm angling for that, obviously. I'm trying to impress as much as I can.
It's working, unfortunately. I don't think I'll be here by episode 9.
You're Dunkelman.
I am Dunkelman.
You are Dunkelman.
So anyways, also...
I'll probably end up being a dipper anyways, so...
Yeah, you can do your own dipper podcast and be in competition with us.
I dig your locker, man.
I love how Mickey gets a kick out of that joke, too. Yeah, he digs his locker. All right, so let's get into the fight. Let's do it. So what happens now? They're in the fight. The fight begins. And what happens in the first round that's never happened before to Apollo Creed?
Anybody
gets knocked down.
He gets knocked down. So it's two things.
Yeah, so Creed is obviously toying with him at the beginning of the round, right?
Yep.
Like he's just throwing jabs. He's made, like the announcer saying he's making a show out of it, and then Rocky's trying to punch him but keeps missing.
Yeah,
and I can really imagine what's going through Rocky's head right now. Like the oh crap, like I am in way over my head here. I can't even hit this guy. He's probably feeling embarrassed.
Yep.
It's like this is probably going to go badly. Like all this work I'm doing is for now. That's how I would think. I don't know how he would think, but. Yeah, that knockdown, I think, probably gives Rocky the confidence saying, hey, like, this guy's not invincible. I have what it takes to really hurt him.
And that's what the Rocky character is in all these movies, really, in some ways. His spirit, his determination, he has what Tony talks about, that brute force. He just has that in him. For whatever reason, the Rocky character, when he punches, it hurts. It hurts the champ. It breaks his ribs. It hurt all the other boxers that he fought. So he might not be the most stylistic, the most well-looking fighter in the ring. But boy, when you get punched by Rocky, if he gets you, if he connects, it hurts. So he's got the ability to take hit after hit after hit after hit. And then just that one punch is all he needs to sway his opponent. And that's what happens to him.
Yeah, and that's a good point because like he's on the receiving end so often, as you'll see in the fight, that when he does get those rare opportunities to make a hit, it has to really count.
It stings. And when Apollo feels that, it knocks him to his ring. It might have been psychological for him, too. Like, oh, my goodness. I got to stay away. This guy can hurt me if he hits me.
Yeah, you know, I actually wanted to look into that because after he gets knocked down, you see Apollo taking it more seriously.
Yes.
You know, he starts actually throwing right hands. He's sticking and moving, so to speak. And then Rocky comes back with some good body shots, but then Apollo breaks his nose and knocks him down.
Yeah, his nose gets broke. How many fights was it against? 64 fights?
Yes, I think so.
Never had his nose broke.
It's funny, one kind of really subtle nod to Muhammad Ali in this fight is when Apollo, after that first round, he's talking to someone outside of the ring. He's like, I told you. Like, he's like really cocky again, even though he got knocked down.
Yeah.
By this nobody in the first round of a fight. When Muhammad Ali beat Cassius Clay beat Sonny Liston for the first time, he did that same thing. He went right to the ropes and he was pointing at the reporters. He was saying, I told you guys, eat your words. I told you.
Am I the greatest of all time, Muhammad? Everybody stop talking now. Attention. I told you, all of my critics, I told you all that I was the greatest of all time when I beat Sonny Liston. I told you today I'm still the greatest of all time. Never again defeat me. Never again say that I'm going to be defeated. Never again make me the underdog until I'm about 50 years old.
And then Apollo, he's doing the exact same thing after the first round.
So yeah, definitely drawing from real life. Absolutely. All right, so the first, I think it's the first three rounds are shown in real time.
Yeah, and round two, like Apollo really lays into him, but then you see Rocky, like I don't actually know who won round two.
Yeah.
Because like Rocky, like I actually think round two was a lot more devastating for Apollo than it was for round one. Because like you see like Rocky get some really good shots in, and then like the announcer's like, he's hitting him right on the kisser.
Yep.
And then like Rocky still kept trying to fight like after the bell rang. Like it's that, to me, that seems where the fight actually gets serious.
There's a good reason probably why it's hard to know who won round two. According to BoxingInsider.com, when they were scoring the Rocky rounds, two was hard to score.
Creed, I did not know they scored that. That's really interesting.
So Creed clearly wins the early part of the round, but as it just goes on, Balboa's blows were more effective and did more damage than Creed's.
They give Balboa 10-9.
Yeah, and that's the round where Balboa says, come at me.
Yeah.
Like, he motions with both of his hands. Like, he's like, well, he wants more. Because, like, you can hear the commentators say in the second round, like, what's keeping this guy up?
Why
is this guy still standing? Like, he's just taking lefts and rights like a punching bag. So, which is kind of funny in retrospect because he takes that for 13 more rounds.
Yeah, I mean, it is, like they said, it's World War III. Didn't they say it was World War III in the ring?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, that's also the second fight.
Oh, my goodness. My fight's in my brain here. What did they say? They said something that's a war in there. Didn't they say something to the effect that
Oh, no, you're watching a battle here tonight, I tell you that.
Yes, yes.
And then right after that, Rocky lands this shot in Apollo's head, and it's my favorite shot of the whole fight because you see all the sweat just come right off.
Yes.
His head. Like, it just, like that was an actual punch to the head.
Interesting. Hey, I want to mention, you said something about real time a moment ago, Ryan. This is the only Rocky movie where slow-mo is not used during a fight scene.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I never thought of it. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Interesting. Yeah, they certainly use that slow motion in later fights to see that blood and sweat come off their faces. So the fight progresses, and we see the battle. Not the World War III, my apologies. The battle. Breaking out, these are two warriors in the ring, and they are just literally going toe-to-toe, exchanging punch for punch, pound for pound. They're just beating the crap out of each other.
See the girl, like the girl holding the round sign?
Yep, in her statue.
She's dressed as like the Statue of Liberty?
Yep.
I think around round seven or so, she kind of has what, in my mind, has like this worried look on her face.
Yeah, she wonders if her makeup's going to run by the end of the 15 rounds.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't believe I'm actually doing this still. Like, why is this still going on?
I always
thought my mind would be funny if they didn't make enough signs because they didn't figure that he'd go 15 rounds.
So we mentioned Rocky's nose is broke. Mickey tells him it's an improvement.
And he's really fixated on how it looks. He's like, oh, how does it look?
It's an improvement.
Yeah.
Then we get to the 14th round. Let's talk about the 14th round.
Well, it's Creed's best round of the fight.
Well, Creed knocks down Rocky. Now, this is a big build-up in the music, and this is the great music in this scene. It's just incredible. The whole battle sound, the crescendo of the music builds and it builds and it builds. And that trumpet section builds up when Rocky hits the mat, being knocked by Creed in the face. And he falls.
Yeah, he takes a vicious uppercut. Vicious. Right down. Like, Apollo just kept hitting him, and Rocky's just kind of done.
And you got Mickey.
Mickey say, stay down, stay down.
Because Mickey is now the father figure, complete father figure mode.
Well, this is the thing, though. This is where I'm actually confused in this part. I'm not sure what he means by that. Because I know in boxing, when you get knocked down, it's not a good idea to get up immediately a lot of the times, especially if you're hit really hard.
Okay.
Like, you're supposed to let your head clear a bit for a few seconds and then get up, I think. Maybe a real boxer would be yelling at me right now, but...
Sure, that might be...
I lean towards more of what you thought, though, that, like...
I think...
Nick wanted him to just, like, yeah, you've done... You've proven yourself. Like, you just...
You know, I think he sees this poor boy... You know, somebody that he's seen in the gym for 6 years. He's just getting, he's proven more to anybody already. In Mick's mind, hey, man, you gone 14 rounds with this guy. You've already gone longer than anyone else ever has. It might not be the distance, but he doesn't know about Rocky's need to go the distance. I don't think Rocky has shared that with Mickey.
No, you could assume that he didn't.
But you can assume that he'd want to, though.
But maybe he didn't want to jinx it. I think he only told Adrian that part of his life.
Well, I think he only came to that realization
the night before.
Like, that night.
Yeah.
And so, like, yes, technically he could have told Mickey that at the fight, but to me that doesn't seem like...
It's not the character of Rocky. Realistic. Hey, Mickey, yeah. just so you know, last night I was at the ring, and I had this clairvoyant moment where... So, you got Mickey yelling, stay down, stay down, and you got Rocky clamoring for the ropes, you got Adrian looking down in horror. She knows what Rocky needs to do, but she doesn't. I don't think she can watch him get beaten up anymore.
She kind of pokes her head out of the dressing room at this point, doesn't she?
She does at this point because she probably hears the crowd.
Yeah. When I was a kid watching it, I kind of thought she didn't want to watch it because she was just a weak woman type of thing. And then I now view her as somebody who just loves this man so much. And because she loves him, just doesn't want to see him get hurt. I think she's okay watching, you know, Creed get punched, but just not okay watching her man get punched. I think that's sure. actually romantic.
And in the later movie, she says, when you took all those beatings in the ring, I took them with you.
Yes. Again, she's the perfect wife. Yeah. The music's built up. Mickey's yelling, stay down. He's climbing for the ropes. He gets up on the 9 count. Creed's already got his arms in the air that he's won. He turns around and sees Rocky's up, and Rocky does that famous, come back to me, come back to me.
That look on Creed's face is priceless.
He's like, you've got to be pooping me. That's exactly.
Yeah, that was such good acting.
It is great acting.
Yeah, that's why he teaches acting on the Carl Weathers School of Acting on Arrested Development. No, am I the only one that watches Arrested Development?
I know the joke. Kyle, do you know that he does that on Arrested Development?
No, I know the show, I know of the show, but I don't watch it.
Okay, let me tell you. Had I said that to people that watch the show, it would have slayed.
Yeah, well, you know, I laughed. I laugh. The joke is, without getting too much into it, is that Carl Weathers plays quote himself in the show Arrested Development, and he teaches acting school.
Like a desperate version of himself.
Yes.
Who will work for a sandwich type of thing.
Do you see me more as the respected dramatic actor or more of the beloved comic actor?
Whoa, 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 whoa. There's still plenty of meat on that bone. Now you take this home, throw it in a pot, add some broth, a potato. Baby, you got a stew going.
I think I'd like my money back.
Oh, hey, Buster. Thought you had class.
I thought you had class. My brother-in-law fires you and you move in on my girlfriend?
Come on, now, wait a minute. This is just purely a social call. You know, just two adults getting a stew on, man.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds disgusting.
Funny how he plays sillier characters. Like, he's played like when he was on Happy Gilmore and...
Come on, boy, cut that out. You're making me sick. Hey! So you're a hockey player, huh?
Yeah.
You gonna concentrate on golf.
Who the hell are you?
I'm the club pro here, Chubbs Peterson. And I'm offering to teach you how to play golf personally. For free.
No.
You have no idea who I am, do you?
No, I don't.
Back in 1965, Sports Illustrated said I was going to be the next Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, what happened?
They wouldn't let me play on the pro tour anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because you're black?
That part, at least, he was a good actor, though. Like,
yo, that scene, because again, Stallone wrote the script, right? And yeah. So he would have written, "When I get up, when the Rocky character gets up and asks for more, you're gonna put your head down in complete like disbelievement and dejection. Like, why won't this end?"
Yeah, because Apollo's never been this far, and there's a if like you rewind a little bit, it shows his face while he's sitting in his corner. Yeah. In the later rounds.
Yeah, and he's...
And he's like huffing and puffing, and you see his eyes are all swollen, like he's...
Oh, yeah, that's right, he says...
He's in the fight of his life.
That's right, the announcers say, I remember now, the announcers say, look at these two, they've been through a battle.
Yeah, they've been in a war, these two.
Yeah, a war, these two, I love it. You are the cult master.
That, you know, I can't remember anything that would give me any type of academic or financial success, but I can definitely remember the Rocky movies.
So round 15 starts, and round 15 is funny. It doesn't have the same. Round 14 is like the best round because of the music buildup. He gets up, but he gets to round 15. He almost beats Apollo. If that fight was 20 seconds longer, what do you think?
Oh no, Apollo was literally saved by the ropes in that last second. He was just resting against the ropes, getting beaten. At that point,
I think if it was 20 more seconds, he would have crumbled to the canvas.
Yeah, and where I think if Rocky wasn't so tired, he would have been able to, like, knock Apollo out right there.
Maybe if he had longer to train, if it wasn't such short notice. Yeah, but that's what Rocky 2 is for.
I thought there wasn't supposed to be a rematch.
Well, we're going to talk about that. So the bell rings. Apollo is literally saved by the bell.
I'm
The announcers start talking about the fight. You've seen the greatest event in sports history.
He says, "We've had the privilege of witnessing the greatest exhibition of guts and stamina in the history of the ring."
That's awesome.
And I get like the tingly feeling every time I hear that.
Have you ever thought about doing a one-man show, Kyle? Like just performing Rocky as a one-man show?
I'm going to do it in the Philadelphia subway system.
Like maybe for Fringe Fest or something like that. I'm amazed of how many quotes you pull out. It's a real treat. Yeah.
Well,
but
thanks.
I remember as a kid watching this and I was confused to who was winning by the end. It didn't make sense to me of who was winning, if anybody was winning. And
yes,
because the movie was called Rocky, I assumed that he was going to win. So I was very confused when he didn't win.
Well, not a lot of people know, I find, when I've watched this with people, what a split decision actually is.
We have a split decision.
Well, you know, I don't know what a split decision is. Fill me in.
If there isn't a knockdown and the fight goes to the scorecards, you'll have an odd number of judges judge the fight. So typically three. So each of them will score the fight individually. And so a unanimous decision is if all three come to the same conclusion on who won the fight. A split decision is two of the three come to the same conclusion, and then there's the odd man out. So in this case, one of the judges thought Rocky had won the fight.
At least one.
No, just one.
Okay.
There's the three judges, and the other two thought Apollo had won.
Okay.
And so like the first one, it says 8-7 Creed. So it's like a really weird score. Usually they score them, like you were saying earlier, around like 9-10 or something, so it'd be higher numbers. But in this case, they're just scoring like number of rounds won. And it's hard to hear the other scores.
Yeah, because the music's playing.
I had this poster I bought when I was in university. I just saw it at some art show. And it was a picture of Rocky on the stairs. But the actual picture was every word in the script.
Oh, like, interesting.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I just remember like trying to read sections of it, but I read like the very last lines. And so I was able to see like what he was saying with the judges' scores. So one judge thought it was 8-7 Creed. One the judge thought it was 8-7 Balboa. And then the other judge thought it was 9-6 Creed.
Okay.
So Apollo Creed gets that. But if you get a split decision victory, then that's kind of a hollow victory because it's controversial on who, like, it was that close that, like, it's kind of disputed who really won that fight.
Yeah, and I think it's my understanding, this is where I come in on this, is that in order to be the champ, don't you have to knock him out, or what's the rule with that?
No.
Or? Okay.
That was kind of thought of before, like, the judges wouldn't score you as the winner if you didn't knock the champ out. But that's not, like, actually an official rule.
Okay.
Yeah, just basically if you don't, the judges will be kind of biased towards you.
Right. Okay, so Rocky's gone the distance, so we know as a viewer, he's done that. He's got his own personal victory. And I love it when all the reporters are on him, talking to him, and you hear what he yells to them, goes, "Get these microphones out of my face. I've had enough things in my face today."
Well, no, yeah, because Bill Baldwin was asking him if he's going to have a rematch.
Yep.
He says, like, "No, there ain't going to be no rematch. I've had enough to my face today."
Yeah.
Anyone would say that, right? Like, you know, it's like if you had a really hard day at work, they're like, "Hey, you want to do another 8-hour shift right now?"
Yeah, no, let's do it.
No.
So now he's calling for Adrian, this is the part where people make fun of the show, the character Rocky.
Yes. Why do you think they make fun of him?
I don't get it when he's yelling, "Adrian!" He's, you know, and to me, it's a poignant, beautiful scene. He's yelling amongst the crowd of noise and commotion for his girlfriend, the love of his life. He's trying to yell over the crowd, calling for, he can't see, number one. And he's yelling for his girl. He actually doesn't sound the way people make him sound. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, usually when people do an impersonation, it's over the top.
Fair enough.
Go on.
And they're usually... Oh, sorry to interrupt.
No, but please, after you, Kyle. We're Canadian.
Everyone has to say sorry at least once.
Sorry.
Especially if you're on the wrong end of that.
That's right. It's my apology. I shouldn't have been talking. I should have let you always talk. I should never be talking. Go ahead.
I'll turn my mic off.
Oh, gosh. I can't remember what I I was saying. So go ahead.
We're just talking about being sorry in Canadian.
Well, Adrian, I asked Ryan why he thinks people might be not liking why he would call Adrian. Right. I just know what I was going to say, which was, and I apologies that you forgot, but is that here's like the biggest victory of his life. And if you don't have somebody to share that with, what is the point? It's not a victory.
Yeah. So
for someone to make fun of that, I think they probably feel uncomfortable because that's a real purpose of life, is that you're not doing it alone and that you have somebody to share it with.
Hang on, be no room.
The wrong one.
Say now, I think a lot of people, when they mock Rocky, don't mock when he's saying Adrian. They mock a different, they mock the second movie when he says, "Yo, Adrian."
Yeah, I did it. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Like when the "Yo, Adrian." We won't say why he said that, but.
Yeah, and I agree with you. The second one is a more pronounced or drawn out, sound that we hear. I agree.
But he says "yo." I think people find that weird.
It's a Philly thing, though.
Is it?
I believe it is. I think it is. I think "yo." Yeah, I don't think it's just Rocky. I don't think Stallone wrote it for just the Rocky. I think he drew it from that era and that area.
It's also a G.I. Joe thing.
Yeah, "Yo, Joe."
Yo, Joe!
He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe!
Okay, so let's talk about the Adrian gets there. Paulie opens up the ropes on the ring there to let Adrian in.
See, that's something I heard, that like Paulie was doing that on purpose to distract the guy.
Yeah, well he was talking. He goes, "Hey, that's my future brother-in-law in there," or something, or not brother. That's my
friend. And then the guy's like, "Yeah, he's my friend. He's your friend. Let's go."
Yeah, and then Adrian gets to the side of the ring and she's like, "Hey, Paulie." Paulie sees her and opens up the ring for her. She climbs in. Of course, she's lost her hat on the way to the ring. So my question to you, Kyle. So here's my question to you. Was the lost hat scripted? And if not, was Stallone's question, which is actually the second to last piece of dialogue in the movie, was that scripted?
Okay. My guess is it was unscripted. Commotion and stuff like that. I can see a hat falling off just like that.
It's funny though, Talia Shire, when she's filming that scene then, okay, so the hat coming off is unscripted because it's kind of a silly thing to script. So the hat falls off and she actually looks over her shoulder but keeps running as a normal person would do, like, forget my hat, I'm going in the ring.
She's so preoccupied with seeing Rocky that the hat's really an issue.
That's a natural reaction.
What's happening? Like, what, did my hat just fall? Like, what's going on?
Then she gets to the ring. But what I like is her hat is off. But as you know, films aren't filmed in one motion, right? So she gets to the ring with no hat on. And now Stallone / Rocky or whoever sees that she doesn't have a hat and asks that question, "Where's your hat?"
Yeah, and this is what Sly was talking about. He was like, you know, like, he's like, the Rocky character is just so into Adrian. He made the greatest accomplishment of his life, and despite everything going on around him, her hat is like his concern.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with you totally.
I want to think that he just improvised given that the hat came off.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what I want to say.
Because Stallone, the actor, would have seen Adrian in costume or dress all day, notices that she's wearing a red hat. When it comes to that filming that she's not wearing it, he in character goes, "Where's your hat?"
Yeah. When he interviews, you could ask him that.
Oh, Kyle, bless your heart. Bless your heart. So, yeah, well, there we go. And then they say, "I love you. I love you." And then the film ends.
And I think that's their first "I love you" that you hear.
It is. Well, we don't know what they said their first date, but...
Well, yeah, you know, when your legs are weak, you say all sorts of things.
That's right.
Was Apollo's woman? Did he get... Was Adrian the only one to come in the ring?
See, you don't see his wife at all.
Until part two.
In life, Rocky won this one.
Rocky won in life. Sure. Absolutely.
No, this is probably one of the worst days of Apollo's life.
Well, we'll see later in Rocky 2 about the kind of mail he gets and what this fight does for him. But this was
We find out in Creed that after a fight like this, you can't even wipe yourself.
Yeah, it is a bad day in Apollo's life.
It's pretty rough.
Claire Huxtable is going to carry him up the stairs soon.
Yeah, that extremely nice house.
Well, Kyle, that's the end of the movie. We can go into other things later about the things that were filmed that were not shown. There's actually film of Rocky and Adrian walking down to the locker room together, hand in hand.
I think that's the cover of like.
It is the cover. It's an outtake.
It never made it to the final film, but it was filmed. And
there's a hat there in that outtake.
Oh, I'd have to look. Boy, she found her hat.
If the hat was in that outtake, then that probably was unscripted before.
Good call. We're going to have to search that. Well, Kyle, how was your first Rocky podcast experience?
I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I'm a little bit, I feel like maybe I became too involved. Like I didn't take over the podcast or something like that.
Yeah, it's now called Going the Distance with Kyle.
Yeah, so
thanks for really enjoying it. Absolutely, you're a treat to have. I hope that you come join us again. Truly.
You know what, guys? I loved it. I will go on as many episodes as you want me to go on.
Ran out of space. Hey, well, so. my recording has stopped because I ran out of memory. But I think Rubens is still going.
Right, now I gotta tell you what I really think of this stupid podcast. No, it was great. I love talking Rocky, especially with people who actually, you know, appreciate and know the movies. I was gonna share a story actually about the Cut Me Mick because we didn't really bring that up.
Okay, this will be an Easter egg. Go, cut me, Mick.
Okay, so this is probably something you wouldn't want to put in the podcast because it's like a messed up story. But like my dad likes to say inappropriate stuff. It's just his nature. He doesn't even realize it's appropriate or not.
Right.
And so, and just trust me here. This is gonna go back to the Rocky thing. It might not sound like it, but so like he'll talk about when I was born and when he saw me being born. And I guess, like, the doctors had to, like, do what's called, like, an episiotomy. Do you guys know what that is?
No.
Nope.
They basically have to take a scalpel and, like, kind of cut to make room for the baby to come out.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
And so my dad, like, is describing this, and he'll do it at, like, the dinner table or something, like, super awkward. And he does it, like, he's done it more than once. And my mom, who's a big Rocky fan, once just was like, "Yeah, cut me, Mick. Come on, cut me." That's my messed up family. But anyways.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's a pretty iconic scene. Apparently that was like my mom was saying in the 70s. That scene of him the cutting his eye was like considered pretty gruesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's a cringeworthy scene to have your skin break open right above your eye to see blood come out. I think it's still cringeworthy to this day because it's such a realistic type movie.
Well, yeah, and the thing is that, like, that fight would have been stopped a while ago. Like, in today's boxing, I don't know about back in the day or anything.
It's the 70s. Like,
it was the 70s. There was
no seat belts.
Yeah.
Also, as well, the ref, Lou Filippo, he was, like, an actual boxing ref. Like, he refed a lot of championship fights.
That's awesome. He reffed the greatest exhibition of, what was that again?
Of guts and stamina in the history of the ring.
That's awesome.
Well, that guy was such a boring announcer, too, which is funny. Like, good evening.
All right. Yeah, I love he goes, all right, all right.
Oh, no, that's the guy in the first fight.
I know, but okay, that's right. All right.
All right, Kid Brooks and Sugar Johnson.
I love that voice. I love that voice.
No, nobody talks like that anymore.
No.
I love it.
It's funny, Phil, like when you, what part of New Jersey did you live in?
Newark and area.
Okay, so you were near the New York part of New Jersey.
That's right.
Like when I was in Philly, I noticed like people kind of talk like that, but not exactly like that. But they kind of have a funny accent there.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the Italians. Or Italians over there.
Yes, the Italians.
Yeah, my first week in New Jersey, I went to a pizza place. I started eating a slice of pie, as they call it there, just regularly. And the owner literally came up to my table and said I was eating it wrong. I had a
You didn't fold it, right?
I didn't fold it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
and so you were in Newark. That's like a pretty dangerous place, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You had to become pretty street pretty fast, huh?
No, I'm clueless, Kyle. I'm not a very street savvy person. I did get beat up. I never wised up. Yeah. Actually, I returned there with my wife. We went on our honeymoon. We went to the East Coast there. I thought, I'll show you, you know, where I lived. She would not get out of the car. And then I'm like, no, I used to live in this building here. So I want my picture in front of it.
Right, Kyle?
Memories out.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. Ruben's phone's still recording. It looks like mine might have kicked back in. We'll figure it out. But quote the first fight announcer, all right. it's time to end this episode. Kyle, it's been a pleasure having you on board.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kyle. Thank you.
Ding ding.
I'm Kyle Peterson. Do you love animals? I sure do. Why don't you come on to Gloria's Pet Shop? Our selection of erotic animals and fishes is sure to bring a smile to your face. Our turtle food has more flies than moths, and you won't get shell shock when you see our prices. You may even meet the woman of your dreams there. So come on down and enjoy some of the flying candy at Gloria's Pet Shop.
Hey, Kyle. Hey, man.
See you later, guys.
It was awesome having you on board, brother. It was really good. We'll probably have you back. We'll probably have you back.
Yeah. Ryan might fire me, though, in between.
No. Hey, Kyle, it was good having you, brother, truly.
It was, like I said, I totally enjoyed myself. So thanks, guys, and have a good night.
Right. Good night.
Bye.
All right, bye.